This segment of the Avaya Podcast Network is sponsored by CashFly. Deliver content fast with CashFly. Visit CACHEFLY.com to learn more. This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN. Technology, news, and information. All in one place.
Don't be a bonehead. Find out why on the next E911 Talk podcast, episode 145, recorded Friday, May 31st, 2013.
Welcome to this edition of E911 Talk with your host, Mark Fletcher, product line manager for emergency services at Avaya. Now, here's Fletch.
Once again, California's in the news regarding E911 legislation for multi-line telephone systems, or MLTS. Just last week, APN legal correspondent Martha Beyer provided an update on this legislative initiative. And just 1 week later, there's additional news to report. And in her words, don't be a bonehead. You see, the bill was in the Assembly Committee on Appropriations, where some edits to the language were made. Now, as normally seen, the boilerplate language about being applicable only in areas where E911 services are available and supported by the Peace app is in there. But that is almost a moot point, as the only areas without E911 service in the U.S. are some of the remote, desolate areas of the Midwest. So as the bill is written right now, the main requirements for an MLTS operator are as follows. A multi-line telephone system, or MLTS operator, shall maintain and operate the MLTS in such a manner that a telephone call made by dialing the digits 911, and if applicable, any additional digit that must be dialed in order to permit the user to access the public switched telephone network from any telephone on the MLTS is routed to a public safety answering point and provides automatic location information or automatic number identification to the 911 network that connects to the Peace app. Okay, the most important part here is that they're requiring both 911 and the trunk access code plus 911. This is why one of my best practices is to make sure that 911 and 9911 act identically in the system. Next, for an MLTS serving business locations, the MLTS operator shall program the MLTS equipment to deliver the 911 call with an emergency location identification number, which will result in either of the following. 1. An emergency response location, which provides a minimum of the building and floor location of the caller. Or number 2, the ability to direct response through an alternate and adequate means of signaling by the establishment of a private answering point. Okay, two important things here. The granularity and on-site notification. I'm happy to see that they acknowledge that building and floor is adequate for Peace app resolution. After all, the 911 call taker has no idea where Cube 2C231 is, and that means nothing to them on your floor plan. Dispatchers need to dispatch, and the information that they need is a street address, and that needs to be the right street address. Having the floor number is useful, especially the case of a fire. Is it the 8th floor? Well, we might want to bring the ladder truck. It's also good to see the mention of an alternate and adequate means of signaling. This is where on-site notification to appropriate individuals and providing screen pops and other pieces of data is acknowledged, which can simplify an E911 remediation plan. Another important piece is the recognition of a PEEP, or private emergency answer point. The only word of caution here is to what constitutes a PEEP, and that's not clearly defined. If you want a good example of that, take a look at the state of Maine legislation where it's clearly defined, and I constantly use that as a good example. Next, an entity that is the seller or leaser of an MLTS system shall provide, at the time of sale or lease, to the purchaser or lessee and to each new user, either a demonstration of how to place an emergency call from a telephone station or provide written instructions at each telephone station on how to do so. So this is certainly a new twist in legislation. Instead of focusing on the user of the MLT PBX, the onus is put on the person that's the seller or leaser. This actually makes a lot of sense, since someone in the business of selling or leasing telephone systems most likely has the technical acumen to provide proper evaluation of an E911 environment and is usually tasked with end-user training of the new system. Why not ensure that emergency call handling is part of that training? So to whoever came up with that simple idea, great job. Sometimes it's the most obvious solutions that are overlooked. Next, an MLTS operator shall review and verify the accuracy of the number and location information provided by the MLTS at least once annually. Well, this is another one of those common sense things. I'm not sure why we need a law on this, but apparently we do. And it's a good reminder. I always say there's four things that should be done twice a year. Change the batteries in your smoke detector, set your clock forward or back 1 hour, depending if it's spring or fall, update your Smart 911 profile, and review the accuracy of your E911 in your PBX. Now, I'm sure there's more, but those four will certainly save countless of lives each and every year. Okay, next on the list. An MLTS serving multiple buildings or structures with a combined total workspace of 7,000 square feet or less shall not be required to report more than one emergency response location. So this is a bit of a departure from other areas, and as in many other cases, each building and floor needs its own emergency response location, no matter what size. Now, I understand where they're going with this one, but I'm not sure I completely agree. In many cases, it really depends on the use of the facility and the normal population of the employees. We'll leave that one for another time. Next, an MLTS serving a location that's a single building with 7,000 square feet of workspace or less shall not be required to provide more than one emergency response location. In the event of a dispute over the total amount of square footage, the state fire marshal shall determine whether the exemption applies to the building or structures. Well, great that they're bringing the state fire marshal in, because that's obviously someone that can make a good decision. But I believe they're missing one important piece, and that is, I would agree with this if it was limited or had language that referenced multiple floors. I think if you have a multi-story building, you do need to get granularity down to the floor, regardless of what the size is. Next is that an entity that is a seller or lessor of an MLTS system in violation of this section after January 1st, 2019 may be assessed a fine from $500 to $5,000 per system sold or leased. Well, I'm not sure I see the need for a date so far into the future, especially with no guidance to new systems being purchased being applicable sooner. However, it is a direction and acknowledges the problem, which will ultimately raise awareness as we flatten, consolidate our environments, and the potential for seeing federal legislation somewhere in the immediate future. Enterprises have gotten the message that the ability for users to reach emergency services is a critical part of the infrastructure. New technology is affordable, deployable, and can provide great situational awareness about emergent events. Technology administrators can no longer claim a lack of knowledge on the topic. It's been in the news, it's certainly been covered on this blog and podcast, and the FCC even acknowledged the problem last year when they issued their notice of inquiry to the industry. So wake up and smell the roses. And as APN legal correspondent Martha Beyer says, don't be a bonehead. The International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event is going to be held at the Gaylord Palms Resort in sunny Orlando, Florida next week. APN is going to be there in booth 337, where my co-host Guy Clinch and I will be hosting a whole series of podcasts with technology leaders, vendors and partners, and even show attendees. If you're going to be in Orlando on Monday, please stop by and check out the Avaya DevConnect sponsored session, IAUG Ignite. That's going to be at 1 p.m. in Tallahassee Rooms 1 and 2. I'll be hosting that unique session that's designed to ignite new ideas for you and your company. It uses a presentation format similar to TEDx, and speakers are going to be challenged with the way you look at communications, technology, customer experience, and operational issues using no more than 10 slides that are going to be displayed for 30 seconds apiece. So once each segment starts, there's no stopping, and the buzzer ends after 5 minutes. So be sure not to miss that exciting event on Monday and kick off the conference with some new and stimulated ideas. For the Avaya Podcast Network, this is Fletch. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you in Orlando.
You're listening to APN, the Avaya Podcast Network. Find us on the web at avaya.com/APN.